Auburn's quarterback commit just did something really, really cool.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. I got my man T-Dub from T-Dub's Film Room over at the Barn, and we got so much to talk about. A lot of recruiting stuff, guys that are commits doing really cool stuff. We're going to talk about a potential curse being broken today. We'll see if that actually plays out. And then if the Deshaun Hall commitment, predictions, all that stuff works out, what does he look like in this system? But Taylor, you came on a couple of weeks ago, and I've had so many people say, you got to get this guy back on. We need more of T-Dub. So, man, I'm happy you're back, and we got some really cool stuff to talk about. So, Gary Chapman Jr., you know, he lit the world on fire with that, highlight clip that QB Country or QB Guru or whoever it is that he works with put out, where he just looked like his release was incredible. He was ripping the ball down the field. And then just recently, his team, is it Brookwood High School, I believe, goes to the Kirby Smart 7-on-7 camp on UGA's campus. It's kind of cool. They actually play it on the field in Sanford Stadium. His team goes in there and wins the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely never a bad thing when your future quarterback goes into Athens and, wins on the football field. So that's great. My opinion on 7-on-7, though, is it doesn't mean a whole lot, to be honest with you. I do think this. I think reps of just, throwing the football as many times as possible ultimately is, a net positive. But, with Chapman, you know, I think Auburn people are really excited about him, rightfully so. But it's, you know, the comp for me, and I'm sure the comp for everybody else, is Malik Willis.
Yeah.
And Malik Willis, we got to give him a little bit of time. You got to give Chapman probably a little bit of time. That's my opinion on this. But I think if you do give him time, if Malik Willis would have stayed at Auburn the whole time, would he have ended up being a pretty good quarterback? I think so. So ultimately, though, what this will do is it will continue to build momentum for Chapman as a recruit. I do think that's really important. Let's get him to a 4-star rating. Let's have a 4-star quarterback in the class. That means a lot just for receivers and offensive linemen and everybody to get excited. That's another step in that direction, along with everything else that's going to happen this summer and then, of course, this fall.
One thing about it, Taylor, that does excite me from the 7-on-7 aspect of it is, if there's anything – if you just look at his season last year that you could, somewhat say, I don't know how this translates. You look at, he completed less than 60% of his passes, almost 59%, for 1,500 yards. And that doesn't necessarily fire. I don't think that just totally fires everybody up when you're thinking about quarterback at the next level. But one thing 7-on-7 at least does is it forces you to be a passer instead of an athlete. So I think, I don't know the statistics and whatnot, but you have to beat teams through the air. So a lot of 2-minute drill type situations too. I think at least that shows, hey, maybe the one hit wonder stuff from the Instagram viral clips, maybe it's not a one hit wonder. Maybe it's something that he's progressing as far as that passing game goes.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And it's the reps. So it's different types of throws. It's different windows. It's layering, throws over the second level. It's putting them high and outside, or working on the back shoulder and the timing routes on in breakers and all that kind of stuff. The repetitions matter a ton. There's no doubt about it. And there's nothing that can replace repetitions. Just getting more reps throwing the football in all different scenarios. That means a lot for sure. It's just, at the end of the day, 7-on-7 really is a different sport than football. It's just, how much can I carry over from 7-on-7 to the football field? You can carry over a decent amount. It's just, it's not going to be 1-to-1, but it'll definitely help with his passing ability this fall for sure.
you mentioned something that I think is probably the most important of all. Like, one thing about these kids that come in and they have like their first year as a starter, they just don't have the eyes on them. They don't have the analysts don't see, they haven't built up that, what's the word, on publicity quite yet.
Yeah.
And so this is going to help get more eyes on him. That those viral clips helped. He had another one recently too that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Those viral clips help, but like stuff like this, this is when, you know, your rivals and your 247s and your ESPNs are going to start really taking notice. I just wonder, is it the jump now, or is it still going to be like a wait and see till we get like actual senior film on tape?
Yeah, and that process is not unique to, you know, industry scouts, you know, checking in on high school guys. Like, this happens even in the NFL draft process, where, you know, you'll listen to, you know, the McShays and the Kuipers and those people who cover the NFL draft, and they'll say, hey, you know, this other scout or whoever really liked this player at this position that I didn't really like the first couple of times I looked at him on field. So then I had to go back and watch him again. And I think that can happen with these kids too. And to your point, I think, you know, not only did he throw for, you know, 1,700 yards, whatever it is, I don't think he played like a full season either. I think he only played like maybe 10
games.
He did.
He was hurt. He was hurt a little bit in there.
Exactly. So, you know, he also didn't have like a full sample size. So there's definitely a lot of reasons that he doesn't have a ton of pub. And yes, you're right. The viral things, as not meaning, because, you know, I think we all remember the Ray's sniper school from the Calzada era. Okay. So, yeah. You know, as not meaningful as some of that stuff can be, what it can do is it can create buzz, it can create hype, and it can cause a Chad Simmons or, you know, whoever, an evaluator, to say, hey, let me go back and take a second look at this guy, or let me go back and see him in person, you know, at practice, where I get kind of a different view on his frame that maybe I wouldn't have without that viral stuff, or, you know, without him winning the Georgia 707.
Does this make you feel any different, better or worse, or do you feel kind of the same that you felt the first time you turned on the film for Chapman?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I honestly feel about the same, just because my perception on his ranking after watching his film, he's obviously a super dynamic athlete. He can throw the crap out of the ball. Like, he's got a great arm. And his motion looks fluid. Like, he just seems like a really good athlete. It's, you know, nowadays, the way that the recruiting services are trying to do all this is they're trying to say, hey, we're going to have like 32 or so five stars because we're trying to project who the first round draft picks are going to be in a couple years. Well, you know, if Chapman's literally actually 6 feet, you know, and not 6'1.5, that's how they're going to do. They're going to scale him back because the numbers are against you, right? Like,
for sure,
the percentages are against you. The NFL doesn't draft guys that are around 6 feet unless they're like really, really special. Right. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Ultimately, he's not going to be 6'4", right, by the time, you know, next fall rolls around. So it is what it is with his frame and with his height. But I definitely think he's got a lot of room to get ratings bumps because, I mean, just watching play, he's a stud.
No, you're right about that. It's just those are the things that he can't throw his way out of, you know, no pun intended. Like, you just kind of are what you are as far as, you know, how big you are. And those are definitely going to be some things that he's going to be – that are going to be obstacles as he goes along. But I'm excited to see him this senior year because it just feels like – it feels like with the combination of him not being able – not playing a full season and then it being his first year, going into his second year, it feels like he could be just one of those guys that just kind of pops. And by the middle, when they start doing the re-rankings in the football season, he could be one that jumps into the, you know, the top 250, or, you know, one of those like unranked four-star type guys, and just, you know, continue to kind of build the hype around him. So, fun stuff. How about Kirby Smart naming the tournament after himself? That's kind of
yeah. I mean, he's won a little bit. I don't know. He's not a legend yet.
It's come play in the Kirby Smart tournament.
Tournament is what they should
call it. The bowl cut tournament should be. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's hilarious. A curse may be close to being toppled. This is going to be fun. And this is one of those, if you know, you know, if you followed Auburn recruiting for a long time, this is going to make sense. And we're going to jump to that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to the PTAC, Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, where two parkways collide. We're talking about Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. It's getting hot outside. I mean, and when it rains too, it gets smoldering. You can get a free AC performance evaluation on the front end, so you're prepared, a free system pressure test, a free vent temperature analysis, and you get $50 off any of the repairs you may need over $300. And guess what? If you go through it and they're like, hey, man, there's nothing wrong, they're going to tell you there's nothing wrong. It's not like they're going to be searching for something to fix. And I can tell you that from experience because they did that with me. If you drop it off between 7 and 9, not only can you get this free AC evaluation, you can also get a $50 oil change, which is just about as cheap as you can get anywhere. So go take advantage. And they even have a bidet. Believe it or not, they have a bidet in the bathroom. Whoa. Yes, it's crazy. There's a whole story behind that too. So check them out. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then head on over to buyauburn.com and be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're an Auburn-owned business, you can list your business for less than a dollar a day. And we're shouting this message every single day from the top of our lungs to thousands of Auburn fans. And if you're an Auburn fan, you ain't got no business starting a buying journey without starting at buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people. We'll be back right after this. T-Dub, the OG recruiting folks, the guys that have followed it for a long time will understand this. I'm going to throw this picture up, and for the audio people, you're not going to get it. You're not, obviously not going to be able to see it, but we'll describe it. The curse of DeMatha Catholic could be tumbling down tomorrow, as everybody that follows Auburn recruiting remembers this. Cyrus Quanjo, one of the Quanjo brothers. It was when Auburn was red hot with Trooper Taylor and all those guys. He commits to Auburn on live TV, but right there it says signs with Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
He did not actually sign with Auburn, as mom and dad and I think Saban said, I don't think so. And then he goes to Auburn. And you know, it's funny. Could that have been the curse of the offensive tackle? Maybe, you know, that was a franchise guy that you could have gotten right there, and then you don't get him. You get Nair Crum on Wednesday. Today is decision day for James Pace, the third, not the first or the second, but the third version. And I think this kid is a baller, and he's a four-star guy. That definitely tumbles down the DeMatha curse. I think that, you know, you could argue that the three-star gets it done, but if you want to go the opposite direction, a three-star and a four-star, that's seven stars. That topples missing out on a five-star.
Yeah. I'm seven stars minus five stars is two stars. So then a two-star would have to do the whole commit but not sign thing.
Exactly.
And then, but I think we're going to be okay there. I don't think that's going to happen.
James Tell me Pace, what you think about James Pace.
Yeah, I like him, man. I like him. I have a comp for him. Do you have a comp for him just in your head? Have you?
I'm not the best at comps.
I love comps.
I want to trust. I trust you on all the comps.
Okay, so comps for me, James Pace. He reminds me of Derek Hall. So okay. Derek Hall coming out of Mississippi was like 6'3", 217, and he was a 4-star. But you know, Derek Hall's huddle highlights were, you know, some receivers, some linebackers, some edge. And the things that like remind me, you know, James Pace to Derek Hall is his frame. So he's 6'3", 225 listed. And he's got a little bit of like a broad shoulder type build. And he's really, really linear. So like, I guess what I mean by that is like, if you think about Derek Hall at Auburn, I think most of us would just think like 2-point stance. He is like in a straight line coming off the edge, and he's going through the offensive tackle, or he's going like right past his outside shoulder and he's getting the sack. There's not a ton of like bend and move and, you know, secondary moves, like not a ton of that. That's what James Pace looks like to me. He's going to win with like this really good first step acceleration off the ball. And then just a lot of strength, like a lot of upper body strength. That's what he looks like to me.
So I noticed this when I was looking at his profile, and this is kind of similar, just on a different scale as Gary Chapman Jr. So when you look at his ranking, so he is ranked really high on 247. He's the number 133 player in the country. He's ranked even higher on ESPN, which is, he's the 82nd player in the country. And then on Rivals, he's a 3-star. Okay, so more than likely, they just haven't necessarily gotten a Rivals guy, got eyes on him quite yet. So when you get, if Auburn were to get this commitment or, you know, whoever, it feels like there's a lot of room there for that ranking to jump up even higher, because if he bumps up to a 4-star on Rivals, which he very well could, these guys don't differ that much. I mean, there's some differentiation, but just not a ton. This is definitely going to make him have eyeballs on him. And you're talking about, he's already in the Rivals industry, number 167 in the country. If he gets right on the Rivals side, you know, you could be talking another top 100 player in the country in this class.
And, you know, 2 4-star edges, you know, yes, with Ryan Jackson. Yes. So, you know, and he's kind of an interesting player in his own right. He reminds me more of like a Romello Height as a recruit, you know, just somebody that Auburn fans can connect with, more of like a string bean, kind of long, lean, bendy type guy. So that's kind of what I like about this too, is they kind of complement each other. You know, if James Pace ends up committing to Auburn, he's a little bit more of like a stout, you know, linear
power guy
a little bit. And Ryan is, I mean, right now he is super skinny. So Ryan's a guy who's, you know, it's going to take a couple of years, but I think when he gets there, he's got a little bit more of that like looseness and bend and get around the edge. Yeah. So I think they complement each other really well.
How wild is it to have 2 edges from the state of Maryland potentially?
Well, and then the running backs from the Midwest, and, you know, the offensive lineman from, you know, wherever he's from, was Delaware, you know. So yeah, it's funny, after Golish's comments about, you know, what is it with the 250 miles or whatever, you know, radius, they are like executing, going out and kind of plucking guys that I think are checking the boxes of like, you can do what I want you to do on the field, but like, you, we actually do care about you wanting to play football. You know, and so they're like going out and getting these guys from kind of all over the place. I think it's a good sign.
And there's a whole another conversation to talk about, like certain states, not all states are equal when it comes to recruiting these days. And what I'm talking about is obviously NIL. So there's some states that allow things that others don't. So that could have something to do with Auburn's success outside of the state of Alabama as well. They're doing well in Alabama, but they're having success in places they don't typically go. So good stuff. James Pace, he announces today. I don't exactly know the time, but all signs point to Auburn, and hopefully that were to happen, and you just see this class continuing to climb. Taylor, there was some predictions for a pretty electric player in the state of Alabama, since we're talking about the state of Alabama, in Deshaun Hall. Auburn has been kind of quiet as it relates to wide receivers. I don't think they necessarily wanted a big class anyway, but you get Brylan Odour, who both of us love. We actually talked about him the last time we did a show. And now you have the potential of adding Deshaun Hall to the class, a guy who's really, really raw, but really, really athletic. He may lack some top-end speed, but you're talking about a guy who's a legitimate 6'4", that's a basketball guy. And you can tell when you turn on the film, he's a basketball guy because he loves to be in the air.
Yeah, he's got some hang time. He's really interesting to watch. Because, yeah, like you said, look, he's not a burner. There's no doubt about it. He's not a burner. But, you know, and I would encourage, you know, the hardcore people that, you know, like to follow recruiting, you know, type in his name and then type in basketball on YouTube and just watch a couple of things that are like right there, easy to pull up. Because what you're trying to do right now is like, how good of an athlete is he? The football stuff is kind of almost secondary at this point. Like, we need, like, how good of an athlete is he? how good of an athlete does he project to be in like 2 years? And that's not an easy thing to do. That's why like five stars end up busting and three stars end up being really good. But when you watch his basketball stuff, it's like, okay, no, he has legit explosiveness. So, you know, he doesn't have a ton of linear speed, but he does have explosiveness because he can jump really high. I mean, that's on the, you know, football highlight tape. The other thing that he does, you know, on his football highlight tape is he'll make a guy miss. Like he's not, you know, he's not just like statuesque, you know, can't move, that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting. And that's another guy, you know, I think, I don't know if he played at Prattville last year. I know he's at Prattville now, but I think
he did play that. Last year was his first year, I think.
First year Prattville. Oh, right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see him this fall too. And look, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, we've kind of followed this peripherally as well. It didn't seem like Deshaun Hall was like super top priority for a little while. And then they spent a little bit more time with him, got him in on the visit. And now it seems like, okay, we're all in, we're ready to go. So, you know, his body is in the middle of like developing right now too. Like it's very possible he gained another inch in the last, you know, 10 months.
Exactly.
It's very, very possible he's put on 15 or 20 pounds of muscle in the last 10 months. So, I mean, this is one of those things where, look, the things that he does really, really well is he's super tall, 6'4 plus for sure, and he's got really good body control. So, like,
very good body control.
And the basketball skills, the basketball stuff, like, picks that up really well. If you go watch his basketball stuff, like, just being able to contort your body and, like, finish, you know, at the rim or the dunks and the alley oops and catching the ball at the highest point and all that kind of stuff that, you know, people generally kind of know of now. That's the stuff that he's really good at. I'll give you a little fun comp if you want one.
Okay, hit it.
And I don't know if anybody else has said this, but a taller version of Darvin Adams.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because, again, he's not going to create a ton of separation. He, you know, but he might catch everything in his radius, and he's going to moss people a little bit more than Darvin Adams would. But, like, Darvin just caught everything. Like, that's what he did.
He was savvy. Like, he did all the little things right because of the limitations he had on that overall top-end speed. And like we said, I think this was his first year playing football last year. Mm-hmm. He looks like a basketball player playing football right now. 100%. So, like, weight room's going to change him. 100%. And weight room could change him and turn that vertical explosiveness into, you know, starting and stopping and straight-line speed. Like, it could easily do that when he really gets into – you know, filling out his body and his frame of where it could be. So I'm with you. I don't think he was like at the top of the priority, but I think last week at camp, he just said, he kind of was like, hey, there's no way you're not going to take me, and I'm going to show you why. And then he just goes out and dominates. So He'll be a fun player to watch. I'm curious, you know, at the tempo that we run or that Golish wants to run and the quick passing and things like that. How does that work, and how does his game translate when that thing gets rolling?
I don't think his projection is that different than like Jeremiah Koger's.
That's a good
you,
one.
You know what I mean? I mean, Jeremiah Koger's not a, you know, burner on the outside. You can win the one-on-one opportunities with him where he's got a physical mismatch. But, you know, a lot of times they're getting Koger on like the comebacks, the curl routes, and actually like the quick screens. It's kind of surprising, like they're using the bigger guys like on these quick, and it's just because of tempo. Like they're just calling plays; they don't really care who it is that's getting the quick screen. But if you go watch Jeremiah Koger, I mean, and then again, of course, in the red zone, everybody knows that you're going to throw it up to, you know, your guy in the red zone that's got the height difference there. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a sort of a proof of concept with Koger in the offense. And I mean, at the end of the day, man, if a receiver can physically kind of position himself to go up and get a ball in a contested area, then the fact that he may lack some separation ability, you know, he kind of makes up for that with a contested catch.
Do you think he's pretty much locked? He at the next level, he's going to be pretty much locked in as a, you know, one of those like outside wide receiver guys, or, you know, could he be, you know, eventually maybe a 225, 230 pound big slot? I don't want to say tight end, but, you know, a big slot guy that you get mismatches on. Could he be one of those guys, or, you know, do you think he'll kind of just stick on the outside?
Well, I guess 2 points on that. So, you know, Golish and them, they don't just stick their players in holes for sure. Like, I mean, you know, Koger would play some in the slot. Mutia Rubin would play some in the slot, some on the outside. Of course, Singleton, they really do move their guys around. And I think tempo has a lot to do with that. You kind of have to be able to move around on the field to play with tempo because you're not substituting. The other thing, though, is the thing that you said, you know, and I can't remember the kid's name. He was a five-star. He went to sign with Bama from Benjamin Russell last year. Do you remember his name?
Yes, C.D. Morgan.
C.D. Morgan, okay. Like, C.D. Morgan's junior highlight tape was kind of like Deshaun Hall's highlight tape. Like, if you really go watch them side by side, maybe C.D. showed a little bit more juice. But what C.D. Morgan looks like right now is not anywhere close to what he looked like his junior year in high school.
Yeah.
The same exact thing could happen with Deshaun Hall. You don't really know. And it could be happening right now, which again is, you know, when Golish and them got their eyes on him again recently, it's like, no, I can see this is the direction that his body is heading in. We're gonna bet on that projection.
I like it. Taylor, man, if everybody, you want to get more of Taylor and what he does and his content, you need to subscribe for the Barn Premium subscription. He hits us with commit breaks down. So I'm sure you're going to have a James Pace video up soon. If he pulls the trigger today, we'll have the Deshaun Hall one up. You dropped some new ones recently. You've been working like crazy this past month, you've had a ton to cover. Yeah. Exactly. We're not bleeding them out at all. They're just like boom, boom, boom. We've had 13 commits in the last 32 days.
Crazy. So
that's crazy. And it's not stopping anytime soon. So, T-Dub, man, I appreciate you. Thanks for joining us again. And, guys, thank you all for listening. Great week of shows. Have a great weekend. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.